Hey everyone, how are you? I'm excited to be kicking off this 2019 with a brand new show sponsor. Very excited to welcome Joseph Meyer Club to the show. If you haven't heard about Joseph Meyer Club, head on over to josephmeyerclub.com right now and check it out. This they have a great product, this aftershave that I've been using. And it's really comes in a nice container, and it's got this foaming tip on it, just a little bit in your hand, and it's nice and clean. You know, if you ever used the liquid ones before, you can kind of make a mess, but this is a real clean and really easy to use, and smells awesome too. That's really a nice thing about it. So, let alone is it moisturizing and alcohol based, so it helps heal up your skin if you happen to have any, you know, nicks and stuff, but smells great too. And right now, to let you try it, they're going to let you get 20% off for all my Rock Paper Podcast listeners. So at checkout, mention RPPJMC20 for 20% off. Again, RPPJMC20 at josephmeyerclub.com. And there's always free shipping, so keep that in mind. And yeah, tell them Shane sent you. Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them this week for some great live music. Thursday, January 17th, Nick Gussman. Friday, January 18th, Last Dance. It's a tribute to Tom Petty. And Saturday, January 19th, Les Gruff and the Billy Goat return to Naked Vine. So all this can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I return to Naked Vine on February 12th with my next singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, bringing along my good friends Gabe Stroop of Skyburnt White, Ryan Cheney of Steeples and Fivefold, and Matt Hall of Inner Outlines. So don't miss that show, $5 at the door, 7 o'clock. Again, everything at nakedvine.net. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Chris Helmick, and I'm with Giant Steps of St. Louis, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcasts. Have a good one.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Where did the sun go?
Behind the cloud.
Oh, 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 oh. Where did your love go? Broken dreams. out in the mist. Have we really fallen that far? Are the echoes of love in the graves we've dug? Have we forgotten who we really are? Love for you. True. When the water ran out, it was through. Remember the night, things seemed right. I remember the promises that were told. When something begins, so must it end. What happened to the poppies and the go downtown? I got something that I'm gonna show. The sky grew dark and the river brown. What happened to the poppies and the marigolds?
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out tonight with Chris Helmick. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
How's it going?
Good, man. It's been a little while, man. Almost exactly 2 years since we last hung out on the show.
I think it is almost exactly 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was like in January last time.
Yeah, something right around mid-January, and we were talking about the Giant Steps Rock the Spectrum show then, and we have another one this year, and so it's exciting to talk about some of that again and what your work with them and stuff. So
cool.
But yeah, man, so I'm glad to be back here and catch
you
up. Yeah,
thanks for coming. Yeah, it was good getting kind of catch up with you right before we got on the microphone. Welcome.
Well, we like I said, we do have Rock the Spectrum happening on January 26th over at Off Broadway. This is a benefit for Giant Steps of St. Louis, and features that evening Owl Holiday and the East Side Rhythm Band, Bottoms Up Blues Gang, and Cree Rider, and School of Rock House Band.
It's the lineup we got this time around, and I'm pretty happy about it. Cree Rider and Bottoms Up are going to be returning. Again, we had them at the last benefit, and I was able to talk to Jordan over at School of Rock, because I used to teach lessons over there, and we just kind of came up with the idea of having the kids get involved with a benefit like this, because we think it's for a really good cause, and think that the kids being involved in this kind of a show kinds of shows them different sides of things that you can do with music and how you can kind of bring a lot of joy into people's lives. So thought it'd be kind of a good lesson for them to learn, as well as get an opportunity to play in front of a crowd that, you know, would be more just diverse, I feel like, just with everybody that we might be seeing come through with the different bands we have. I think we picked out a pretty good spectrum of music as well, because we got a bit of the blues covered, we got some rock covered, we got some country covered. You know, and it might get a little bit funky too with Al Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he gets those horns going sometimes, so definitely when he gets those keyboards rolling, you can get a party kind of going on. So I thought it'd close out the night really well. Work with Al over at School of Rock as well, so we became pretty good friends over the years. And really this whole show, like it's a lot of my friends that are playing, so it's really nice for me to have a bunch of my friends involved in something that I've been working so closely with, especially working at Giant Steps as a music therapist. You know, I see these kids 5 days a week, and they've basically become like a huge part of my life. I mean, that's the majority of my time is spent at the school, And this event is pretty important to me because it will help bring money into the school, which, you know, we're not a very big school. We only have about 20 students right now. All of them are on the spectrum with autism. So, you know, it can be kind of trying sometime, and we definitely need to have good staff that's going to be there. We try to make it as one-on-one as possible with the students. So, raising funds and having funding throughout the year is really important for us. And a couple years ago, I came up with the idea of having this benefit. So, it was kind of a collaborative thing that I just kind of threw out in the wind, and a bunch of people became involved very quickly. And it was really successful last time. So, the school really wanted to do it again. And, so I got the motor rolling and started contacting people. Steve over at Off Broadway, he was really cool about letting us use the venue again. And once I got the venue and the date kind of set, then I started hitting up bands that I knew, and had lots and lots of people contacting me about doing the show. And I really wish I could add everybody that was contacting me to play. Sure. I mean, it would be awesome to have it be like a full day event, and maybe sometime in the future, once we get this going a little bit more, I can maybe expand out the event. Right now we don't have much of a budget that we have to work with to be able to create a big event. And sometimes when you are doing a big event that's going to last that long, there's a little bit more money that has to go in on the back end to get things rolling. And so that's part of the reason that the event's still kind of a little bit more contained right now, is we're still trying to get sponsorship. We got a little bit of sponsorship this go around, but we're hoping next time we can get kind of more going, so we can get a really big blowout next go around. But I feel like this time we got really good musicians playing. It's gonna be a fun night. Everybody's playing back to back. It's gonna be from 8 to midnight. Doors will open at 7, and yeah, so once 8 o'clock rolls around, we'll have the first band up on stage, and it's just, I'm figuring going to be a party, because last time we had the whole place packed out.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good time.
That's, I just recently kind of stepped into that world of putting together a benefit show, and I did a Toys for Tots show this year right after Thanksgiving, and but yeah, like you're saying, like, how many of your, you know, you called on some friends and they're all stepped up to the plate, and then, and so many other people wanted to be a part of it too. And like, that's exactly what I went through. Like, it was so great to say, call friends, be like, hey, would you guys want to play this? And like, there's zero money. It's all for a charity. And yeah, we went in, and like, and that's the best feeling ever, man. Like, to call on those people, and then they show up and deliver when you need them and stuff. So
yeah. And I feel very fortunate being in this town, and I've been playing music in this town for, it's been like 13 years now. And I mean, I've met so many people and so many different styles of musicians, and have learned so much from so many different musicians. So it's really awesome when you kind of just say, hey, I have this idea and it's for something good. And you see a lot of really good people come out of the woodworks, and they're like, yes, I want to get involved in this. I want to be a part of this.
1, 2, 3, 4. Stumbling South Broadway, drinking my blues away. South Broadway, drinking my blues away, wishing one of them trains to bring my baby back to me. Well, I left my baby last night crying at the house. Yeah, I left him crying at the house. I just can't be with him. He don't know what this music's all about. I wanna hear some Tommy Bankhead, some Oliver Sane, some Benny Smith, won't you do it again on South Broadway? I'm drinking my blues away and wishing one of them trains would bring bring my baby back to me. I just can't shake this feeling. I can't seem to shake it so far. So I open up my ears for what St. Louis brings. Takes living the blues to figure out something. Now my heart just earned another ring. I wanna hear some Johnny Johnson, some Oliver Sane, some Henry Townsend, won't you do it again on South Broadway? Drinking my blues away and wishing one of them trains would bring my baby back to me.
I mean, the response for musicians was great. I hope our response for people coming to attend the show is going to be just as well, and that we'll see a lot of support so we can raise a lot of money. Because it is pretty important for us to, you know, have different kind of funding. Because we get some money through school districts and we get some money through grants, but it's not a whole lot in the scheme of things when it comes to, you know, running a school and all the day-to-day process and all the equipment we might need. And I mean, it's not an uncommon thing for equipment to get broken at our school. So a lot of students we work with, they have a little bit of trouble regulating at times, and there can be meltdowns or sometimes just problems like with dealing with an issue, and something might, you know, get broken in the process and we have to replace that kind of stuff. So, you know, it does create a certain kind of overhead and a cost that's there that is continually happening throughout the year, as well as just, having a student there and being able to fund like staff to be there with the student. Cause, me being a therapist there, there's a bunch of different therapies. I mean, we have occupational therapy, speech therapy, we have academics, we do vocational skills, we have art therapy, we have a gym class and stuff. So we have a lot of classes, but also in the time that they're transitioning from classes, or if there is like a down period and they might be working on some kind of vocational stuff, a lot of times we need TAs to be there and to be able to be with that student. We also need TAs in the classroom because not just for safety issues, but also they can help facilitate and help work with students a little bit closer and better. All that stuff requires money. Mm-hmm. It's not something that someone's going to do that for free day in, day out. Having a benefit like that, I felt like for me with being a music therapist, it seems natural to call on all my musician friends and say, hey, let's help raise money for these kids, and let's make their quality of life as good as it possibly can right now, because they don't really have anywhere else to go. Some of these students, they've tried to be in conventional schools, or they tried to be in special school district type settings, and those environments just weren't right for them. They need a different kind of facility, and our facility is a little bit more one-on-one. It's able to, able to give more to that student, like more attention to that student than some of the other places might be able to, or we're trained in certain ways that we're able to deal with certain situations a little bit better if something does happen, or if there's just a regulation issue, or even just in teaching different kind of skills, having that like more of that one-on-one attention can make a big, big difference than when you're trying to group, you know, 5-6 students, sometimes even more, into a classroom of children that have autism and possibly other disabilities and stuff. So with us being a little bit more focused on just the autism spectrum, it makes us a little bit more specialized, and we are able, I feel like, to handle it. But it does take money to do that. So this benefit really is about trying to just raise that, you know, raise money to have a better quality of life for the students while they're in our care.
Yeah, man. You've been with Giant Steps a couple years now, right?
So I started with them back in 2015. So yeah, this is my fourth school year that I'm doing, that I'm in the midst of. So yeah, it's been pretty educational. I learned a lot about autism in general, but just a lot of different disabilities when I was doing schooling for music therapy. But actually working in the field and working with, you know, a human being and being in front of a person, you don't see that disability really. You see their different characteristics, and any person with autism, they're a person, and you know that they might have things that they're dealing with that, you know, you might not necessarily deem normal, but it's pretty normal to them. So and some of it that sometimes, you know, they just can't help it. Like, it's part of their nature, or it's just how their brain works. So really just treating them as a person and getting to know a lot of these kids like really closely. And there's quite a few of the students that I've known the whole time that I've been there. I've gained a really close relationship with them, and I've gotten a lot of insight. So there's some students that, you know, I might be a person that someone might come to if they're having a really rough time and they know that I can work really well with a student. They might come and say, hey, can you help out? And I will go over and try to help call them a student or just give them what they need at that moment. But there's a lot of people that I work with that are like that too, that they just have these relationships with some of these students that their communication is so good that they're able to almost in like a sea of voices that are happening all at once, that student is able to hone in on that one person and really focus on what they're saying. And it can make a big difference, but I think that came from just being around them so much and building that rapport, working with them, working on all these skills. But also with me doing music stuff, sometimes it's just having fun, doing musical things. I get to be kind of the fun teacher, even though some of the other teachers don't like that I'm the fun teacher. Like, I get to be the fun teacher just because I'm doing a lot of stuff with music, even though some of the students, they don't realize that I'm, you know, teaching them different kind of skills by using music. I'm still able to use music, so it is almost masked that, hey, this is a fun activity. You don't really realize that I'm teaching you how to do motor skills right now and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really cool working there.
Yeah. I had a friend on a little while back, Brian Higginbotham. Was a big part of this fighting autism. And they do a lot of like MMA fights and different things and raise awareness. But they threw together a benefit this year also, and that's what they, one of the things like why they wanted to get into music, because they know that music's a big, has a big impact on a lot of the autistic children and stuff. So like, and something they respond well, very well to. So, so anyway, it made sense to throw a concert and stuff. So like they did a similar kind of thing and I think they did pretty well with it. But it's like, it's just it's really cool to see that that music's that sort of universal language, that, you know, some, how many people can react differently to the way music you know, they respond to that than maybe other things. So
yeah, and that's part of the reason, like exactly what you're talking about, of part of the reason why I got into music therapy as much as I did. Because I was really just playing music for as long as I did, and I was so aware of a lot of these things about how music affected people. And I mean, even playing shows, you can feel it. Like, you're in the room, and it's almost like you feed off of, like, people's energy. And a song that maybe, you know, is meant to be a slightly slower song winds up turning into a really fast and, like, loud song very quickly, depending on the crowd. If, like, the crowd's really pumped up, it can get moving really fast because you feed off that. And I think as a music therapist, like, that is one thing that I had to kind of train myself, was that there is a certain sense of separation you have to have from being able to use that as a tool, and to, that it's not really about yourself, it's about who you're working with at that time. Because it is very easy in music to have that communication almost, because it is like a different language, and it's almost a subconscious language that you're having with somebody. And you, I mean, people even, you know, they have biases against people because of, like, their musical choices. It's so involved in our lives, like, right now, especially in pop culture. Like, I mean, yeah, most things that you see that are popularized are usually popularized by, you know, artists that are musicians, and music kind of drives the culture a lot of times too. Even generationally, like, when you look at decades, a lot of times decades are, you know, it's kind of set almost by what music was going on during that time period.
For sure.
So it's so ingrained in us, but I feel like it's something that's been ingrained in us for centuries that we don't even realize how ingrained it is. Even us listening to Western culture, like that style of music, like all our music is developed because of our Western stylized, you know, music that came out of classical music and stuff. But you go to other cultures like India and China, like, and all kinds of places, they have almost a different style of music, and their culture is almost developed slightly differently because of how they hear things. And we, I mean, even the way we associate happy music and sad music, when we listen to a blues song, and, like, a lot of times those songs are, like, minory, we just have this association that has been ingrained in us since we were toddlers, like, that when we hear minor chords in this kind of pattern, it's supposed to be sad, and it's supposed to make us feel sad.
Right.
We hear these kind of chords in this pattern, or something's upbeat, it makes us feel happy. So it's just something that we've kind of been trained in a certain way to listen to music in these ways. And when you have that knowledge, and you can kind of see how certain songs affect somebody, then it's really easy to use that information to do something that's going to make someone very involved and make them feel good, even. You can even, I mean, music has such a sense of heartache to it as well, so you can even know there's certain things you might want to avoid, or certain kind of songs that you might want to avoid if someone's dealing with something really hard. Or maybe you use those songs, but you use them in a more therapeutic way, and you really discuss, like, what's going on and what the depths of those emotions that person's feeling, what that connection kind of is. It's all encompassing. And I think with a lot of these kids with autism, like you were saying, it does very much connect to them, because there's autism, it's a spectrum, because there's so many differences, but also there's a lot of the disability, and a lot of the things are because of certain parts of the brain that aren't quite functioning correctly. Stuff like your frontal lobe, like your auditory processing, like motor functions, like a lot of these things, they can, you know, things that are in our brain that help us regulate our emotions, even those things aren't quite firing properly, they aren't quite working properly. I mean, one of the only things that does really usually work very well is the visual aspect. So pairing a lot of things with visuals is really good for these kids, but music uses so many different parts of the brain, as far as, like, rhythms and your motor senses, your auditory senses, emotional regulation in general. If you use those properly, and you're able to really kind of see what that person needs, and you know how to use the music to you know, work with that person and to provide them what they kind of need. You can take somebody that's, you know, really amped up and just use the proper type of music and calm them down very easily. And all of us kind of do this kind of self-medication with music all the time. That's basically why we listen to music a lot of times, is because we want to feel like we need to be pumped up, or we want to feel like we need to connect with this emotionally sad song, or we need to feel like we just need to calm down and relax. Or maybe it's some kind of sense of nostalgia that we just need to take ourselves back into our childhood for a minute. We use it all the time, and I think if you use it as a tool in some of the ways that I'm using it, it's really easy to make these connections, but also to make a very, very, very big difference in a lot of people's lives. And it's part of the reason why I kind of started focusing more on the music therapy side of things, is because I've been playing in bands for a long time, but I feel like there's so much more I can do with music now with how much knowledge I have about how music works, but just how people are in general too. Mm-hmm. And working with a lot of the students that I do, but also I was working with Alzheimer's patients, so I saw a lot of that kind of stuff too. But just working in performance with, like, being on stage and networking and crowds and stuff, you get to know a lot of different people, and you see a lot of people in your life, and I've learned a lot from people, but I feel like I need to kind of use that music a little bit differently now. So I've been a little bit more focused on trying to do something more with it and focusing more on that therapeutic side of the music, taking my degree and trying to put it to use.
I feel the same way, man. I've been doing this show for a long time, and I feel like, you know, one day it just kind of clicked, like, that I can do a lot more with this than just, like, it's always been fun and I enjoy the conversations and things, but it made me realize one day, like, I can do a lot more with this. Like, this show can reach a lot of people, it can make a big impact on a lot of people, and you know, just like in documenting all these stories and different things, and it's just, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about the sort of impact that just this conversation or just any of these shows could have on people and stuff. So, like, it's kind of crazy to think about that, how much we can make a difference in, mm-hmm. with something like, you know, whether it's music or even a podcast or whatever. So just doing this stuff, it's kind of crazy to think about how much of an impact it can make. So,
yeah. So I know you've definitely made an impact on your podcast. I mean, I remember when you were first just kind of starting it out, and I thought it was a great idea, and I saw you just, you know, it was kind of a little bit more spaced out every show, and you were kind of getting your role, and then all of a sudden it's just, people really got into it, and then I just saw you were getting people on the show, like, constantly, and now I feel like it's, when you release it, it's like batches now.
Yeah. I've been, we did like one a week for the beginning, when it was me and Chris doing the show together, and then after he left, I've been doing like 3 or 4 a week for like 3 years now. So occasionally I've hit like 5, and then, but sometimes I've also done like 2 or something. Yeah. So either way, it's still a lot of content being out there.
I think you have a great that. I love being on the show. This is my third
yeah, I think we did a Toe Fire one in the boat bar, right?
Yeah, we did that one.
And then we did that 2 years ago.
The other one for about the benefit 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was kind of in the background of one of them for recording while you were doing another one.
Yeah.
I always enjoy being on the show. It's good catching up with you too. Seems like since I've been focusing a lot more on this music therapy stuff and doing these things, I don't get out as much at night. And it's, I think for a while there, I was seeing you all the time because you like to frequent shows a lot. And I know you know a lot of musicians around town, so it was really easy to run into you at shows. And I've definitely been not going to as many, so I know I haven't seen you in a while, I think partly because of that. So it is good to catch up with you.
I often make a joke that I was like, well, you know where to find me, because I'm usually out Broadway Oyster Bar or yeah. something. If I'm not working there, I'm usually hanging out there anyway and yeah. for the shows. And so, but yeah, man. Well, you are, you like you're saying, you said you've been working a lot for the school and doing all this stuff, working more for your therapy, but you still are working for original music. You yes. still.
Yeah.
You're always writing and recording and doing stuff here at the house. I've been, yeah. you're working on a new tune yeah. that you want to share on the show today.
Yeah, I was. I've been working on a few tunes now. I've gone back and forth for a long time with doing just recording in studios, having other people do stuff for me. Every time, like, it was either with bands or different musicians, and stuff kind of either would fall through or I wasn't quite happy with where things were going. So I decided to do a lot more stuff on my own now. In some ways it's more compositional. Like, I really want to focus a little bit more on the compositions of my songs. I've been, you know, playing in a bunch of different bands and writing stuff, but I feel like it got so kind of generalized to the acoustic guitar, and most of the songs were kind of wrapped around the acoustic guitar. And you know, I love playing electric guitar, and I like playing bass sometimes. I love writing bass lines. I like playing on keyboards too and messing around with all kinds of sounds. And you know, I like programming drums. Like, I mean, I love all the technology side of music as well, and I'm pretty well versed in it at this point. So, been, you know, writing and composing in that kind of world, where I'm doing it a little bit more on the digital side, or I'll come up with like a little guitar part and I'll record it, and then I'll see how that develops. Sometimes it will develop with lyrics, sometimes not. I also bought myself a nice old typewriter so that I can sometimes just sit down and break away from the technology and kind of write in a little bit more old style way of doing stuff, and just really trying to get the creative juices flowing. So I do have a song that I do want to share. It's called Atom Bomb. It's a song that I played in a couple of my bands, and I feel like it's progressed, but sometimes the song would kind of more turn out to be whatever band I was playing in, because everybody kind of put their own style or influence on it, and I never really had my full vision of what, like, the song was, because the song really came from a dream that I had about watching an atomic explosion, and I was talking to someone about it, and they were like, you really should write a song about that, and I was like, okay, and I went home and wrote a song about it, and started to kind of develop it, but like I said, it turned into a lot of different, like, songs almost. So I was going to share...
It's time to die. Mushroom cloud begins to bloom. Death is rising through that gloom. Devastation on the ground. Debris is falling all around. Smoking ash of those who died. That atom bomb has punched the sky. Survive the blast, they're running hard, they're running fast, seeking somewhere safe to hide, howling cause they're petrified. city's been laid to waste, left desolate and been erased. Fragments cast on the ground, people lost, never to be found.
It's not completely done, and hopefully it will be like on a compilation of stuff. I'm not sure at this point if I'm gonna just do a thing where I'm steadily releasing singles, or if I'm gonna try to just combine it all into an album. I think most of what I'm seeing with music nowadays, it's not something I think I want to turn into a CD necessarily. I think I might keep it a little bit more in the digital realm.
Mm-hmm.
And try to just start producing stuff and constantly putting things out there.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, man.
Yeah, so this one, yeah, it's called Atom Bomb. It's, like I said, not completely finished. There's a couple little mixing things that I still got to do. I might be re-recording some vocals on it and stuff, and I might actually be trying to add... I had a couple of friends on there that I have. One of my friends, he recorded some guitar parts. I haven't gotten that mixed into it yet. So this will be kind of a sneak peek, and I thought it'd be fun to premiere it on your show.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, we'll definitely take a listen to that.
Very cool. Yeah, man, I'm glad that you're still working on this, all this stuff. I mean, like I said, like to keep writing and recording more music. Hopefully we'll get a lot more music coming out soon. And
yeah I'm not stopping with it. I think it's just kind of shifting. I love writing, but I've been learning how to animate, because one of the things I want to do with music therapy is I want to, some of the songs that I work on with some of the students, I'd like to make them into little animated short videos, because like I said, a lot of the students I work with, their things about visuals are there. So pairing it with, you know, a fun animated visual,
yeah,
with the song that, you know, I've been working with them on, I think would be a good thing. So,
yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, I'm writing a lot of, you know, what would be considered children's songs or very simplistic songs for a lot of my therapy stuff. But I'm also still writing songs that have a deep personal meaning for myself as well.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about it not too long ago, but like how, like... I think it kind of started as a goof, but like a lot of the guys are kind of doing it too. There's been a lot of these like bands recording like nursery rhyme type of songs and stuff. Like I was joking about it, how like I think Jim Brewer kind of put the idea out there, but like, you know, all these guys have children now and stuff, but like, he started it as a he was doing impressions, like, you know, AC/DC doing like the Hokey Pokey,
mm-hmm,
and Metallica doing Bingo and stuff. And then like, a lot of that like really happened. Like a lot of these bands that like have been recording children's versions of songs, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. So, because their kids can't listen to a lot of their music,
yeah.
So they then record music that they can listen to.
Yeah, yeah. I think that generationally, like a lot of things that I deem as popular, kind of like on the mainstream there, like a lot of these musicians, they're, you know, they have families now that are, you know, growing up, and they're probably like kind of taking a step back and going, oh, I probably need to shake a little bit of that persona. So
yeah,
doing something like that, I think, is pretty good for them. Yeah.
I just joked with old Capitol Square Dance Club too. They were talking about that song Baby Shark.
That song just like completely went wild, and it's crazy to me because I've known that song for a few years now with working with like younger students, and then all of a sudden it was like everywhere, really, yeah, like crazy, and then there was so many different versions of it.
Well, Jesse's got a baby at home, and so he was like, that's all he's been listening to. And he's like, you guys ever heard this song? And then, so we were joking about them covering it or something like that. It's just, you know, like I was saying, there's market for all that stuff. I mean, even if it's so, you know, you write that song or whatever, I mean, that could blow up and be the next big hit and stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's, sometimes a perspective, you know, kind of changes, but I think when you're, especially when you're around, you know, a scene like St. Louis where there's just so many good musicians and you feel like you almost have to always be on your toes and like, you have to be bringing your A game a lot of times because, you know, it's it never feels like a competition, but there's also this sense of like, I want to be the absolute best that I can be because there's so many people that are out there doing so many good things. And, you know, I feel like for a musician in St. Louis, your perspective sometimes can get a little bit skewed because it's almost like you're trying to play for all the other musicians in St. Louis and you forget that there are tons of people that are not musicians in St. Louis, and there's a lot of kids that you know are just learning stuff, and they're growing up with music. And in a certain sense, if they you know catch you at like a big event where it's like you know Earth Day or something like that, that's one of their first exposures to music that they're gonna ever have is seeing your band play. And it's you know sometimes having a little bit of that perspective that. You can play a good quality song and it can be for a certain you know market like that like children or something like that and you can still make a good song.
Yeah, yeah, man. You we got the benefit coming up, yeah. January 26th. Tickets are available today at offbroadwaystl.com. It's $20 tickets.
Yeah,
and again that's a donation right to. Giant Steps of St. Yeah. Louis, so
yeah, go towards a great cause.
Yep, and then again, it features the talents of Al Holiday and the East Side Rhythm Band, Bottoms Up Blues Gang, Cree Rider, and you said Cree's bringing along a band, so
yeah, he's bringing along a band. He's not quite bringing the whole family band, but yeah, he said he'll have a pretty good band. We didn't really get into details, but in some ways I'd like to be surprised because I always enjoy seeing who Cree brings with him.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got a long list of talented friends, too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
he does.
It's always fun to see who shows up.
Yeah.
And then, again, School of Rock House Band will be there, too. So it's going to be a fun evening, all for a good cause. And Off-Broadway is one of my favorite rooms in the city. It's always always a good time over there.
Good sound. We'll have a raffle going too, so we got some artwork that I know we'll have for sure. But we're getting a few other donation items, and if you hear this show before the benefit and you feel like you want to donate something for the raffle, if you got any good items, you can always contact me through Giant Steps. Just chelmick@giantstepsstl.org. You can get a hold of me if you have any questions about the benefit as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's the website, Giant Steps?
GiantStepsstl.org is the website, and then it's just my first initial and my last name for my email.
Right. But if you want to get more information about school, head on over there.
Yeah, you can definitely, we have our website, which will tell you about the program. It tells you about how you can even donate. So if you can't even make the show, you can donate money to the school through the website. We also have a summer school program that we do, which the summer school program is not just for students with autism. It's any student that has a disability. So there's a lot of schools that offer summer camp programs, but we have a pretty good pricing compared to other schools, so we have a lot of different students. Like usually we get about 80 to 90 students for our summer camp program. So the signups for that will actually be coming up soon too. So if you know anybody that has a niece, a nephew, a little brother, a little sister, somebody in the family or a close friend that needs something to do this summer, they can look at the Giant Steps summer camp program.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, so there's lots of good information you can get about the program for sure on our website.
Yeah, and there's also Giant Steps on Facebook as well. So
Facebook. I just got us on Instagram and Twitter as well. So We'll be posting pictures pretty regularly on Instagram and, you know, trying to do some alerts that way. There's also, if you go to Facebook, you can also donate through Facebook as well. We got our donation stuff there as well. So.
And click RSVP for the event and all that. So.
Yeah, we'd love to know kind of if we can get an idea on how many people to expect. That's always good at the beginning, but sometimes it's great to just walk in and not know what's going to happen, and then you get pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just hoping a lot of people make it out, because it is going to be for a really good cause.
Definitely. Yeah, man. So yeah, grab some tickets, come out and party with us, and raise a bunch of money for Giant Steps of St. Louis and all the children. So. But, Chris, this has been great, man. I really appreciate you doing this again.
Thank you.
It's always fun getting to hang and catch up. And
it definitely is. And I appreciate you coming over and letting me talk about this again.
Absolutely, man.
It's really important to me.
Happy to help.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank
you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.